click the buttons for me, and we'll welcome our next guest, which is the Coburg coach, Jade Rawlings. Welcome to the program, Jade.
Thank you.
It's the first time we've had you on in 2009, and how have you seen the season so far for the Coburg Tigers?
A bit of a mixed bag so far. We're 2-2. We've had fielded some pretty good teams and haven't quite got the results in the last two games, but we're still, as it happens to the linemen, and new seasons, there's so many different players they're trying to develop the chemistry with and a rapport, and that's still developing, but we've been reasonably happy with some of our efforts and a bit disappointed with a couple of others.
Well, I guess one thing that's been a fixture of Coburg at the selection table this year is the amount of changes that you've had to deal with so many players going up and down from VFL and down from the AFL back into the mix. You've at times had, you know, six or seven changes to deal with.
Yeah, that's right, and it's a reality of what happens with our alignment, and unfortunately with our, just probably our line partner, Richmond, just not playing to the level that we'd hope at the moment, that's going to be a bit of a revolving door. So it's a reality, as I said, of the way it works with the line clubs, and one of the great challenges of the coach to try and continually get these players playing as a group and adhering to what we stand for. But, I think we're starting to find a good balance. We've had some very, very good senior AFL players play with us, which has been a good experience for our Coburg-listed players. And, there's hopefully a bit more stability in the upcoming couple of weeks.
We spoke to Rhino during, I guess, in the early part of the season, Jade, and we're not going to sit here and grill you about the Richmond Footy Club because we're here to talk about the Coburg Tigers, but there must be some genuine pressure just around the place generally, getting filtered down from obviously the alignment with the Richmond Footy Club at the moment.
There's genuine pressure when you're involved in AFL footy.
Yep.
It's week-to-week scrutiny. See, Hawthorn or Premiers are dealing with pressure, and it's just constant with the way the footy is these days and the amount of exposure and scrutiny everyone's under. So we're no different in a lot of ways. We're probably a bit different. The fact that the plight of Richmond at the moment is being played out through the media almost daily. But for myself, it's something I've been used to for a long time now. We've been involved in a couple of clubs that are going through similar scenarios. I work with Terry daily basis, and he's just been outstanding to work for the last 3 years. But certainly when he's been under the most pressure is when I feel as though his true character's come out, and the players certainly get a feel for it. Everyone sort of seems to be affected by the mood of the senior coach, and certainly from a Richmond end, you couldn't complain with how Terry's handled it.
It's from an outsider, having a look at the situation. Terry Wallace needs to be applauded in the way that he's really handled the media pressure that's been built towards him. But he really hasn't had an opportunity to show his true worth. I know 5 years is a long time in the job, but the club was looking so positive and really going forward at the start of the season. You just haven't been able to find that gel or mix to play that consistent four-quarter football.
No, it was a big build-up round one, and it ended up being a bit of a flop from our point of view. But no, Terry's been in the game a long time. He knows what's sustainable and what's not with how to conduct yourself through the media, and he's handled it well. But from a Coburg point of view, we get some players who come back in a pretty disappointed manner because they're not playing well or being dropped or coming back from injury. And like I said, it's a challenge to try and make sure you transform their mind into a good, aggressive, competitive mindset for VFL footy.
Well, I guess be no more bigger rival for Coburg than the Collingwood footy side, so the boys would be looking to shape up today with a big game at ABD Stadium. How have the boys been travelling this weekend on the track?
Yeah, we had a good week, actually. We had a week off last week with a bye,
yep.
So there was a bit of vented frustration that was probably the boys are looking to put out the track last week, but have been forced to hold that over for an extra week. But, we've served up a good, solid couple of sessions on the track, which the players responded well to. We had the Richmond boys out there last night. We were able to do a bit together and plan well for today. So hopefully everything that's been put in place the last 2 weeks is translated to a good performance against the Pies today.
How do you gel the side with so many changes week in and week out? Obviously, the Coburg-Richmond alignments are very strong, but to try and get that gel and knowing your players' strengths and weaknesses must be a bit tricky at times. I know you deal with them on a 7 day sort of basis, Jade, but on the footy field when you're coaching them, how do you get them to perform week in, week out?
Oh, that's a good question, because I do know them intimately, the Richmond list and Coburg list, because I see them so often. But to try and get them to all understand each other is a great challenge, and I think that's the thing I like about BFL footy is that you're constantly served up little curveballs and varying challenges week to week. I really work on the players' minds and make sure that all egos are put aside when any sort of profile player comes back from the AFL, and conversely, that I tell our Coburg list of players that the Richmond boys are coming back to our club, which is they should be the ones initiating any sort of introductions if it's a new player they haven't met much before, know much before. So it's difficult because they don't know each other that well, but we just keep stripping it back to what we're about to all try and achieve together, as opposed to just making way and or for one or two players to allow them to do what they want. So we try and get the team mindset to be the forefront in their minds for a match day at Coburg.
Do you have much interaction with other VFL coaches? And the reason why I'm asking, because last weekend we were broadcasting Frankston versus Williamstown, and Shannon Grant, in his first time in his first year as head coach of the Frankston Football Club, did something similar to yourself and attacked the umpires at a quarter time break and found himself actually getting reported. Did that bring back some memories?
No, it doesn't, because I've never been reported for talking to umpires. So, no, I'm very close with Shannon Grant, and he's a great mate of mine. I think the VFL coaching fraternity is quite good. Peter German, I was coached by at Hawthorne in the reserves. Jared Fitzgerald is just an absolute star and gentleman.
Yep.
Gary Ayres is a terrific fellow. Brendan Bolton, I was coached by him when I was down at Tassie, who looks after Box Hill. David Teague's a good fellow. So I don't have a heap of interaction with a few of them, but I know them quite well, and probably Shannon Grant's, the fact that he's a close personal friend as much as an ally in the coaching industry, he's the one I keep in contact with the most.
Did you give him a call? Did you say?
No, he called me on the Sunday night
to
let me know what he'd got himself into and what was the best way of going about it. But he's doing a good job. It's tough when you come in, all you want to do is sort of show what you can do, and hopefully that translates to wins, losses. He's zipping five, but they're a good competitive outfit, Frankston, and he hasn't dropped his guard once with his attitude towards it, so I think he's done a great job so far.
I've got a sense that he's starting to relax and starting to actually enjoy the coaching. And you might be right.
Yeah, because the first couple of weeks he was really nervous and tense, as you are when you start out, but he was more of the positive mindset last week when they got pipped by a goal, but he spoke to me more about how well they went, so that was good to hear from his end.
Coming off the bye, you've had that big build-up, now facing Collingwood. It's going to be a big match because Collingwood have really improved on their 2008 performance, and it's a chance for Coburg to really show where they're at against a team in good form.
Yeah, you're right. They're 4-1, and they've had a really good run with injuries, and I think that's the thing where it's a bit misleading. I think everyone's going, they're having a shocking run with injuries, but it only seems to happen this week and probably less of a degree last week. So they've got a few out from their senior team, which plays tomorrow, but there's still a couple coming back today, and you look across their list when we showed our boys last night, there's a lot of talent out in the park, and they're well above us on the ladder, so there's no false sense of security from our boys going in about where this game sits. So we know we're in for a good contest. They're well coached by Gavin Brown, and hopefully that it ends up being a good day, and we end up on the right side of the ledger.
Now, Jade, when the retirements and delistings come from AFL clubs, I know VFL teams will often go through it. Must be a bit of a smile on your face to bring an old mate back to the Coburg Footy Club and Tim Clark.
Yeah, well, it was interesting our dealings, because Clarky and I have been great friends for about 10 years now, and we sort of spoke to each other. I was sort of speaking to a couple of other players, and I said, well, let's just keep in touch, because he was speaking to a couple of interstate clubs, and if we just keep honest with each other about where things are, if he gets something or if I get a player that I've been speaking to locked away, then we'll just keep moving forward. But in the end, it worked out well that he wasn't too keen to leave. We were super keen to get him, and he's brought, obviously, on-field talent, but his leadership and his quality of character and his values are things that just everyone's been suitably impressed around the club. And, it's a bonus when you can get the on-field and the off-field in a package for at VFL level. So he's been a terrific acquisition for our footy club.
Any new names or young recruits coming through, really putting some pressure on some of the more senior Coburg players that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, we've got a new player today. It's a young boy called Murphy Ambrose, who's a outstanding young fellow. He's only 19. He's from Xavier College, and didn't play at all last year because he had a broken wrist. And he got in touch with myself and just said he'd like to have a go. And I went and met him once and had 20 minutes with him and just got this really good energy from him. And I didn't know what sort of footballer I was going to get. And he's just taken all before him. He's got terrific, he's outstanding endurance. He's like a state level 800 meter runner. And,
oh, okay.
He combines that with being a genuinely tough natural footballer as well. So he's only played, he was playing local footy 3 weeks ago. He's come in and played two games in our reserves. And yeah, we just found him to be ready to go. So
hit the ground running, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, like some people may think it, I don't really care what they think, but some people may think it's a bit ahead of where he's at. But I'm going to play players who play footy the right way and what we would consider the Coburg way. So he's one today that will play. We've got Rayson coming back from a broken hand who will be eligible for selection next week. To McElhane, who's been with us, has been injured, is our viable selection again. Another couple of guys have been with us for 2 years, Nick Catapan, Ben Clifton, Tom Groves, a few guys that in their second year with us who will be pressing this year. So we've got a pretty good core of a Coburg list. It's hard for them. There's up to 7 or maybe 8 opportunities in the senior team each week when it's not a 12-10 game. So they all have to fight pretty hard week to week to get their spot and keep it when they get in.
Now, Jade, I know clubs aren't really into setting goals and, you know, it's a week-by-week sort of proposition, especially in the VFL. But you must set out 2009 and have a plan and where you see the Coburg Tigers competing at the end of the season. Was finals and top four a genuine goal for you this year?
No, well, you almost said it right from the start. That this business of VFL is just a weekly business, because if I start playing too far ahead, I just don't know. If I'm worried about who we're playing in 3 weeks and what they might have compared to what we'll have, it's just not a possibility. Look what's happened in Collingwood this week, about 8 changes.
Yeah.
We've had another 5 at Richmond this week. You can't forecast too much. Based on the health of your list, you'd like to think with the talent pool that you'll be thereabouts at the end of the year, but that will all take care of itself. So, I'd be disappointed if we didn't play finals, no doubt, but putting a number on it or a position in the top four, anyway, I don't do that. I don't play too far ahead with certainly outcomes and results.
Well, Jade, thank you so much for giving up some time on your Saturday morning to join us here on the Saturday Morning VFL Footy Show. It's always a great chat, and good luck this afternoon against the Magpies.
No, good on you. Thanks very much. Catch you later.
Fantastic. Jade Rawlings there, coach of the Coburg footy side. So I think I'll just look to you, Jim. Do we have any more guests joining us here this morning? Are they all come and gone?
I think we've exhausted all our avenues of interviews this morning.
Great work. Really enjoyed the two chats this morning. That was Brendan Bolton first from the Box Hill Hawks and then Jade Rawlings from the Coburg footy side. I didn't really get to, just before you jump in there, Jimbo, he sounds like a genuine Coburg man, doesn't he?
He's found that
inner strength that only Coburg men can have. When you look into Ryan O'Connor's eyes, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Well, just 2 years ago, they played off in a grand final.
Oh, no, look, I don't. That list that they've got in front of me, I know Richmond probably play on the Sunday, do they? Looking at some of the names that are selected there, that's a very strong unit. And the quicker they find that gel and get the wheels rolling in the right direction, the Coburg Tigers could really finish amongst it this year. So I'm expecting a big improvement. They've got that Cleve Hughes bloke playing in the twos. He's kicked 15 goals in the reserves. If you got him running around in the reserves, you've got a pretty good forward line.
A couple of years ago, I was raving about Cleve Hughes is here. You know, we're going to replace Cleve Hughes. We're going to replace
Richo
with Cleve Hughes. We've got someone to replace Richo. It ain't quite worked out, but, you know, Richo's still there, and Cleve Hughes is still there. And
I don't mean to sound like I'm potting him, but I think it starts with his first name, doesn't it? Cleve.
Oh, probably. Yeah,
Cleve.
I think you've got Cleve. It's not usual.
You wouldn't associate Cleve with a dashing centre-half forward, would you?
Well,
Wayne or Gary, is it?
If his second name was R, you could have Clever Hughes or Cleaver Hughes.
Oh, there you go.
We used to call him the Cleaver.
The meat Cleaver.
Yeah. But it didn't work out that way.
He's probably at the crossroads in his career too, Cleve Hughes.
So is Jay Schultz. He's up and down like a yo-yo. One minute he's in the Richmond side, next week he's in with the Coburg Tigers.
I don't think he can find
his niche at Richmond.
That's one thing players probably not doing is harnessing Jay Schultz's talent. Kicked 7 goals in the VFL. Was that against Casey? I think it was, or the game before.
I think so. Yep, something like that. Yep, he kicked 6 goals against the Brisbane Lions a couple of years ago and looked absolutely sensational. And I think he hurt his ankle in that game, and he's not done anything since.
And that TAC incident really did hamper his development. He lost a lot of confidence over that. Jay Schultz, but I actually regard him as a footballer. He goes at it hard. He keeps his head over the footy.
Yep.
And he'd be one player that, if Richmond were to let go at the end of the season, would come under some radars, I think, for progressing his career elsewhere. Yep. So it's round six of the VFL. You're tuned in to 97.7 FM. 3 hours of genuine football chat starting at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning with Alison.
Alison Neal kicks off with the netball, Casey Get India netball show, and then after that through to, what was it, back?
Tangles?
11 o'clock, I think.
The
DDJFL.
Yeah.
Our best wishes go out to Nathan Thompson, who's a bit under the weather. He had a bit of a heart murmur.
There's always something going on with Nathan Thompson, isn't it?
He's a headline chaser. No, he's a great guy.
I felt bad for having to pot at Cleve Hughes' first name. You've just followed up off the long run.
Nathan Thompson.
That's a Brett Lee special.
I've always admired Nathan Thompson.
If this was Triple M, that was a bomb. No, you can't just...
Let me talk. Nathan Thompson is one of those guys who has gone back to the club that he played for last year. He got delisted by North Melbourne, or Kangaroos. And he's still at the Werribee Tigers, and that is magnificent. That's been one of my gripes about players being delisted and not going back to the club they played for the previous season.
Well, some players, they don't like being delisted or retired. Disenchanted, Jimbo.
They should admire the fact that the Coburg Tigers, the KC Scorpions, they gave these players a chance to further their careers. And when the AFL side said, see you later, we can't have you next year. Go back to the VFL. Go back and prove how good you were.
There's a couple of different views on that. And I agree with what you're saying personally. I think there should be more players coming back to the VFL to develop their junior players coming through and giving them bigger bodies in some of those tighter contests. But I also know how important the bigger names are to clubs out in our area. And I'm sure it's the same in every country town.
Yep.
When the big names come to show, the big crowds rock up, and crowds going through the gates and buying records and eating pies and drinking beer is what these clubs need. And I'm sure it's clubs like Beaconsfield that have got Andrew Williams and Greg Tivendale at Rock. I remember you can see pictures of Ozzie Jones holding up the Premiership Cup at Narre Warren.
Yep.
These are the names that... if they don't have the passion to play at a competitive level like the VFL, and they've knocked back offers to go interstate because the money's on the table, it's just as important.
Paul Lecuria did it last year and was...
I don't necessarily agree with what's happening with so many players, big-name players, going to amateur clubs.
Yep.
Because that's got other agendas hidden there. As much as they're not paid, there's money going somewhere. Yep. I mean, old Scotch can't have a team that good without money being passed through somewhere.
Maybe. Hopefully not.
Well, I know that's probably shouldn't be making comments. Yeah,
that's
I don't
an
know
outsider
enough,
looking in.
I don't know enough about the club, but some of the names playing at Old Scotch this year, you'd have to go, gee whiz.
Yep. Anyway, I do admire all the ex-AFL players that go back to the VFL and pass on their knowledge to the players coming up, because there's a lot of young kids.
A lot of young kids
are going from the TAC Cup into the VFL. And they need guidance,
You
can't always have your Daniel Riches going on from the waffle. You don't have your Jack Watts. Jack Watts needs guidance while he's playing at Casey. He needs someone to follow. Unfortunately, he didn't get that chance to play with Robbo. Could you imagine Robbo and Jack Watts in the same side?
Well,
Jack Watts would grow an extra 6 inches. He'd walk taller and. I still go back to that goal he kicked against Coburg a couple of weeks ago. One of the better goals. And we actually saw one of those goals last week, didn't we?
Yep, we did.
Right in front of us.
Oh.
That Sandy.
Gallett.
Yeah. Jeff Gallett.
Was it Jeff Gallett?
Or was he on the other side?
It was
two brilliant goals from the boundary.
Yeah.
Snapped beautifully through the middle. And we're talking about the middle. Jeff Gallett's goal from the other side, I'm pretty sure it's Jeff Gallett's goal from the other side, was absolutely out of this world, and it's on the ABC. Both goals are on the ABC as well.
I still reckon Cameron Richardson would be my contender for Snag of the Year so far.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even give out sausages, we just call it Snag of the Day on 97.7.
Yeah, we've labelled it Snag of the Year. snag of the day, snag of the anything.
We're not talking about girls' boyfriends here either. We're not talking about the sensitive new age guy. We're talking about sausage rolls. We're talking about goals.
Yeah, not one sausage has changed hands.
No, we always talk about it, but never do it.
Getting back to Nathan Thompson, who was one of the few VFL AFL players that actually spoke to us on air last year.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
that's why, again, I admire him for...
He's a laid-back character.
Giving us his time.
He's good for...
Because Satantaro Halpin just ignored Ben last week, and that was bad.
Well, who cares? Satantaro's a kicker.
We're a community radio station trying to get the best out of...
Oh, yeah, we know
out of
that.
Ourselves, and we need the big names as well as the big names.
Take that back. Santana Helpin's not a big name.
Well, he created headlines during the preseason.
No, for kicking someone.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, he's not a big name. Favola, he spoke to us.
No, yes, Brendan Favola spoke to us, and we thank him for that. But
so he should. He's from the area. Exactly, he's probably got people tuning in that know him.
But if we were Channel 9 and we wandered up and said, you know, we're Channel 9, speak to us, they'd... You know, be chasing us down the road trying to talk to us.
But
we're Casey Community Radio Station, you know, they...
I think being a community radio station, though, puts us more at risk of Ben going, so you kicked Cameron Cloak, did you? What made you do that? Geez, you looked angry. So you don't want to put yourself in that position.
Yeah, I know.
Because if you get asked that question on air, what do? We've only got 10 minutes left, Jimbo. So last week we harped on the team for the teams of round six about half an hour in our tips. Today we're going to do it in 10 minutes. So...
Yep.
We'll do it in order rather than going through the broadcast games. There is a game starting at 10:40. So if you want to know the scores, make sure you tune in from 1 o'clock. We'll be on air and bringing you up to date with all the action from the AFL curtain raiser down there, Geelong versus North Ballarat. Pods, the other kick, 6 goals against his old side, Werribee, last week. They won by a goal. We haven't even gone through the results. I think it was 92-98. Jeez, I need to get
92-98, yes.
I need to get a life, don't I? But the Cats notching up their first win of the season. Can that form continue, Jimbo, against North Ballarat, the reigning premiers?
These two teams are so closely matched in their history. 11 times they've met, 5-6 in favour of North Ballarat. The high scores, 24-14 each. The lowest scores against each other, 9-12-9-11. So absolutely matched perfectly. Geelong have got the highest of the lowest scores, and their average scores against each other, Geelong 15-13-103, North Ballarat 15-12-102. So you couldn't get any closely matched, so there should be a 100-point blowout.
Well, who's your tip?
Well, last two times they met, Geelong won two times ago. They won by 62 points. Then half that, North Ballarat turned it around, and they won by 31. So
tip?
I'm going for Geelong down at Geelong.
Ooh.
I don't know why, because North Ballarat are, you know, reigning premiers. They're doing good, but Geelong beat Werribee last week, and I'm probably heading down the wrong path here. But no, I might change it, and I might go for North Ballarat. I've just talked myself out of it.
Are we going to put your tips in later? So we're going, I think...
North Ballarat.
I tipped Geelong last week. I was pretty confident against Werribee, because Werribee don't have that pacey midfield. At skilled stadium, I just think North Ballarat will be too strong.
Yep. Geelong's current form of one win and three losses equals their worst start since 2005.
And Dale Amos, the coach down there, looking for better things from the Cats. The ABC game at 1 o'clock. It is Port Melbourne versus Frankston. The two standalone teams will go hammer and tongs. It's Phil Cleary's birthday when those two teams play. You won't know who to bag. You have to go with the umpires. Watch out, the men in orange at... the TAC over today, because Phil Cleary will be on the warpath and he can't bag the alignments because there's no alignments competing. Port Melbourne versus Frankston. Remember, Frankston's membership, target 2,000. Get on board.
Yep, Port Melbourne should win this comfortably, but then again, they're up and down like yo-yos. They lost the grand final last year and their form's been fairly up and down since. The head-to-heads, 5-4 in favour of Port Melbourne. And... normally when Port Melbourne win, they only win by 27 points. When Frankston win, they win by 47 points.
Quick, give us a tip.
I'm going for Port Melbourne. They should beat Frankston, who are 0-5 at this stage of the season.
Tipping an upset. I'm tipping the Dollies to win that game.
Yeah, it's not hard to...
They built on the second half against Williamstown, Jimbo, and Williamstown are in pretty good form.
You've jumped to the next game.
No, I haven't. No, I'm just saying Frankston were good in the second half against Williamstown.
Yep.
They really did impress me last week. Murray kicking six goals will get back with some confidence. Yeah, they're desperate for a win.
With a busted nose or something.
Yeah, desperate. Oh, you look like a mummy.
Look like a mummy on Mummy's Day.
Yeah. Frankston, I'm tipping them to beat Port Melbourne.
You are?
Yep.
Okay. Well, good form last week. They played very good football, unfortunately. They played it against the top team, and the top team at the moment is Williamstown. Frankston, no surprises, the worst start since 2004.
Marigliani, best game I've seen by anybody in the competition last week against Williamstown. His final quarter clearance work and just penetration with his kicking was something to be admired. He was fantastic last week, Marigliani. Yep. And if his team had a better start to the season, I know he injured his hand. He'd be half a chance for the Liston medal if he keeps up that form.
Last year, Frankston actually won this clash, 66-92.
We're going to run over time again, Jimbo, if we don't shoot through.
Coburg versus Collingwood.
Coburg versus Collingwood. It's a big broadcast game this afternoon, myself and Chris Weaver. Tristan Fernando has the weekend off to concentrate on his television duties. But ABD Stadium, live from 1 o'clock. The game will kick off at 2. If you're not doing anything, it'll probably be one of the better games of the round. So get out there and support the VFL. Quickly go through your stats and give us a tip.
Not many stats here. Just played the once against each other. Coburg winning by 53. Yeah, Coburg winning by 53 points last year. 121-68. Coburg should win.
Coburg to win.
Well, I hope so.
Wow. Well, are you giving us a hope so tip? Because people are following you back at home. Collingwood are 4-1.
I haven't tipped.
They knocked off the Box Hill Hawks last week, and you've jumped off the bandwagon.
I haven't jumped off the bandwagon.
Four injuries, though.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm a Richmond supporter, so I've got to go with the alignment.
I'm just going Coburg because I'm educated. Yep. And no, not really. I'd left that open for a comment there, Jim, and you just let it go. But anyway, Bendigo Bombers versus Williamstown is the other game on Saturday. Good to see some Saturday afternoon footy in the VFL up there at QE Oval. The Bendigo Bombers yet to notch a win against Williamstown.
Yeah, in 2006 they were 0-5. This year they're 0-4 at the same stage due to the bye. And Williamstown, geez, they just keep winning. They're 4-0, their best start since 2004 onwards.
I wasn't that impressed with Williamstown last week.
No, they played good football under pressure.
They play good second half footy.
Yeah, they got off to a good start.
But they played quarter footy.
They were 40 points in front in the first quarter.
They were sitting ducks.
They kicked five goals in the second quarter and went into half time behind. Then they won.
They kicked 12 goals in their second quarter, the Dolphins?
10.
One of the best quarters of football I've seen in a very long time.
I'll remind you of one thing that happens in horse racing. Champion horses win by a nose every time. They don't lose by a nose.
Yeah, good teams find a way to win, but I just thought last week in that second half, when they've traditionally been playing better football, Frankston really did match it, and I was impressed when they beat Collingwood. I thought they were fantastic. I wasn't that impressed last week.
Yeah, but
they're impressing me enough to beat Bendigo.
Yeah. Winning form's good form, and if you do it under pressure, it's even better. Anyone can win going away. Anyone can win by 10 goals. But when you've got to win by 6 points in a high-scoring game, you've got to remember they scored 139 or 133. You had to play good football with those scores. Frankston played very good football as well. Unfortunately, Frankston were the losers and Williamstown were the winners.
So you're tipping Williamstown?
I'm going for Williamstown against Bendigo, who have been very ordinary this year, unfortunately.
So Sunday afternoon, the KC Radio team will be getting out there to KC Fields. Haven't really been there that often so far in 2009. We went for the night match.
Been there twice because we did the practice match.
KC Scorpions versus the Box Hill Hawks. You've gone through some of the stats there, Jim, so just give us a tip.
Yeah, 9-0 home teams with these two clubs. So I reckon they should make it 10-0 in favour of the home team.
Yeah, Jamar back and Buckley from some Melbourne players playing for the Scorpions. The Great Wall got a mention from Brendan Bolton. Was it Brendan Bolton? Yep. Hawthorne's injuries. There's a couple of players in that Box Hill list I haven't seen before, and I'm not being ignorant. So, is
James Watt's playing. Jack Watt's playing.
No, he's not.
No, is he?
Well, is that Watt's? There's a Watt's listed there.
Is that? Well, let's hope it's Jack Watt's, because we want to see him live. We've seen him playing for the seconds. We haven't seen him playing for Casey yet. I've seen him on TV. He was very impressive.
Well,
I want to see him in the flesh.
Taking my Melbourne cap off, I'm just as happy to see Stockdale and Alex Silvani go around for the Casey Scorpions as Jack Watts. He hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, but we want to see the hype.
Just because you've got number one tag, Jimbo.
Well,
I want to see him in 3 years when he's... if he lives up to all expectations. So, you tip Casey?
Tip Casey, yes.
Yeah. I'll tip Casey as well, only because I've seen him more often than the Box Hill Hawks, and they've won two in a row. They had the bye last week, Casey, so that would have given some of their younger bodies some time to recover, and looking to really get amongst it once again. McGough and McCready, some of the listed. Tim Moore gives up height and body size to a lot of his opponents. He's in fantastic form. So, I'm going to go with the home team, who traditionally do better at home than they do away. And I think it's the final game.
Yep, very quickly.
Of round six. Is Bryce looking at me?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, we've got a little bit of time. When he starts looking, we'll cross. Werribee versus Sandringham down there at Turnside Park. It's live on VFL Live or whatever it's called. .com.au. If you're looking to tune into it, make sure you come back to 97.7, of course. Because we'll be at Box Hill versus Casey. It'll be our Sunday broadcast game. But the final game and our final thoughts for this weekend of round six action. Jimbo?
Yep. Since 2004, they've met seven times. Sandringham winning 6-1. And it's been all one-way traffic. Although, the last time they met, Werribee were victorious when they won by 6 points. Sandringham had a very ordinary second half of their season last year.
Bongi Eddie is in the line up there for the Werribee Tigers. Former Tassie, remember Bongi Eddie? He used to like to fight more than he kicked the footy.
That's the one.
And the Beast from the East, Banjanen, is in the mix to play some senior footy. So, at home, well, since you mentioned Maguire's, they've listed Sortner again. Sortner will not play. He was crook last week. He couldn't even get off the ground, and he was on air saying he's about 2 or 3 weeks away. Why they keep naming him?
I don't know. Maybe wishful thinking. Maybe they've got no one else to
play. Simon Atkins is going to go, oh, look, we've got a plan for Sortner.
Yep.
Oh, no, he's not playing either.
Yep, we've got to go.
Well, who's your tip?
Sandy.
Sandy?
Yep, at Werribee.
At the Sandy Werribee ground. Make sure you tune in from 1 o'clock this afternoon for the big game, Coburg versus Collingwood. Then again, join myself and Simon Petch tomorrow afternoon live from Casey Fields from 1 o'clock for our first time broadcasting the Box Hill Hawks and our return to Casey Fields.